Glory to Jesus. Just going to follow that with a few words. So true that we need to let the Word of God be the thing that directs us, gives us direction, gives us the motivation that pushes us on. The Word of God is like a wind, like the wind is to a sailing ship. If you have a ship out at sea and there's no wind and the seas are becalmed and there's no wind, the ship is going nowhere. And if we have in our lives, if we have churches that are not blown upon by the Word of God, by the wind of the Spirit, we're going nowhere. Every one of us needs to have the breath of the Spirit breathing on us. That same breath that comes from the very throne room of God breathes on us and it pushes us forward into the things of the kingdom. It causes us to increase. It causes us to draw closer to our destination. Amen. Have you got a destination? Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going? Two choices. Heaven or hell. If you're in a situation on the water and you be calm, there's no wind, there's nothing. You'll die of starvation or you'll die of the lack of water. When the breath of the Spirit comes, He brings and He feeds us. The breath of life. When we hear the thoughts of God, it says it will quicken this mortal body. That's what the Word does. As you were preaching, it came to me, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. And he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Hallelujah. You know, lately I've been saying, change your stinking thinking. Change it. You see, if you start thinking your thoughts and if you start dwelling on your circumstances, then it will become putrid. We haven't heard that before, have we? Did anybody fall asleep just then? No? No, it's good. And so the Word is there to quicken us. It's there to bring life. Sometimes we need a push. Sometimes there needs to be a stirring by the Spirit. We can become complacent. Sometimes we can become weary in well-doing. And I don't mean helping other people. I mean weary in well-doing for ourselves. You see, if we don't carry on doing well for ourselves, we're not going to have the ability to help somebody else. We have to keep ourselves in good order. You know, if you don't keep an eye on in your motor car on the oil and the water, and you suddenly one day find out that it's used all the oil up, and you'll find out when a red light comes on the dashboard, or an orange one, whichever they happen to be, and if you ignore the red light, or the orange light, at some stage, you will grind to a halt. Is that not true? All the warning signs are there. We just ignore it. Sometimes in our Christian life, all the warning signs are there. You know, you check your car, you take it for a service. They say check your oil weekly at times. You know, most of us don't do it, do we? We just think, no, it's a good car, it'll be all right. My car don't have a dipstick, only has a dipstick that drives it. It's one of these electronic things, you know. It's like I went looking for the dipstick, you know, lifted the bonnet thinking, can't check oil, you know. I feel out of control at that point. Do you know that? Because now I'm trusting in electronics. And I'm like, just give me that little bit of a stick that I can push down there and pull out and say, yeah, it's okay, it's fine. And the quality of the oil, you can look at it and say, yeah, it looks okay, that, you know. But it's not there. But at the same time, you and I need to have a spiritual check. We need to have a spiritual check. We need to be serviced regularly by the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're not well, you go to the doctors and they'll give you a prescription, and go to the chemist, you get your prescription, and on it says, take 3 times a day. Or maybe 21 days. And you do it methodically, don't you? And at the end of it, if he's managed to diagnose you right, you feel better. You'll be cured. Try this. Try this, the Bible, the Word of God. Try a couple of scriptures 3 times a day. I'll tell you what, when you've done that for 21 days, you will feel better. Hallelujah. You will feel better. It changes things. It changes you, you know. The Word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is truth. It is life. Whatever is lovely, whatever is true, think on these things. Well, the thing to think on is the Word of God. And God says, my thoughts aren't your stinking thoughts. I know, you know, like it's put politely here, but your thoughts are stinking. Your thoughts are often in the pit. But God says, but my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And my ways are higher than your ways. In other words, follow me. Think like me. Yeah, it reminds me of, is it Jungle Book? Yeah. You know, you got to think like me. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-do. Talk like me. Ba-da-ba-do. You know, got to think like God. Be like God. Act like God. But just then folks start saying, but I can't be like God, you know. But he made you, the Bible says you're made in his image. Look at the person next to you. Made in the image of God. Made in the image of God. Created for good things. That's what we're created for, good things. And like, for instance, Stephen, Daniel, brought up in a good family. Stuart, brought up in a good family. Needed a nature change. They'd been told what was right to do. We know better. We're smarter than our parents. You know, they might have lived longer, but we know we can handle all this technology. They can't. We're smarter than them.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, in your dreams, you kids, in your dreams. The reason we've lived longer and survived this long is because we're smarter than you. You know? We had to go through life when things were really tough. Yeah? Isn't that right, Bill? We used to fix it when it was broke, you know, repair it, look after it. You lot, you just chug it away, can't fix it, you know. When life was tough. And he said, well, it's tough now. I hate to tell you, it ain't. Life's good. Life's good. And you know, if you'll keep Jesus right in the center of it, it gets even better. Isn't that right? Jesus came. Yeah, that's right. The Bible says our day should be as heaven upon earth. In other words, again, this is an answer This is an answer to the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. In earth is what it should say, isn't it, Bill? We know that, don't we? You see, it's not just talking about the kingdom of God on this planet in the sense of, but it's talking about the kingdom of God in what God has created. In the souls of men, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in this earth. Dust we were made. And from dust we'll go back to if Christ does not come. But then we shall be raised up to be with him in a twinkling of an eye. What's a twinkling of an eye? It's faster than a blink. God wants you and me to begin to think the thoughts of God, to act like God. You know, you can say about children, you can look at some children and you can, the way they act, the things that you do, and suddenly you say, chip off the old block. They're just, you could see they're just like their mum. You know, you just look now and you see, just like your mum. You know, you'd stand her in a line and you'd pick her out. She belongs to you. The world needs to see when they look at us, you belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus, don't you? Not a mark on the forehead, but a mark by the Spirit of God. That same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells, abides, lives, thrives in us. Amen? And it is that same Spirit, as we allow that same Spirit, it will direct us, it will force, it will forge us, it will change our nature, it will change our thinking. It will even give us abilities that we've never had before. Come on. This is truth. This is truth. My God is a God of impossibles. When somebody says to me, it's impossible, do you know what I do? I say, right, I'll go to God and have a word with him. Because he usually, when God says, I hear you've got an impossible situation, he says, it's one for me. So I just say, okay, God, hand over to you. Sit back and watch and learn, son. Hallelujah. Resting in his presence. Resting in his joy. Giving him praise. And seeing God work. For my thoughts, he says, are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For that has the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we can just rejoice in this. And he says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and it does not return there, but waters the earth. You know, when the word of God comes to us, it comes to water us. It comes to bring us life. That's what the word comes. The word is there, as you were saying. It brings us life. It quickens our mortal bodies. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Makes us pure so we can stand in the presence of the Holy of Holies before the throne of Almighty God and see the scepter held out before us to say, come, my son, welcome, welcome, welcome. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, for you shall go out in misery. Is that what it says? You know, to be a disciple, a Christian, you have to be miserable. No, it don't say that, does it? He says, for you shall go out with joy, fruit of the Spirit. Go out with joy and be led. God wants to lead you. Come over here. God does not want to be doing this. That's not God's way. He says, He'll lead you. Jesus said, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Be my disciple. And you shall see souls saved. You'll see signs, wonders, and miracles. And all of these things come about as you follow me. And so what we should be doing is following the leading of the Holy Spirit, following the Word of God, and let the Lord move in our lives. Being led out with peace. You see, when God leads you, there's a peace. And in the peace, there's a power. And in the power, there's God. Praise His wonderful name. We can rest in His presence. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, if you don't let these kids praise me, the very stones will praise me. We're safe to worship and praise Him. Our main goal in life is to worship God. That's what the Bible says. We're saved to worship Him. Worship, serve Him is the same word in Scripture. And so we are called to worship God, and as we worship Him, He covers us with His wings. He sets before us the things of the kingdom. He's constantly guarding and watching over us day by day. He says, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You can clap in church. God loves to hear clapping. God loves to hear laughter, joy, hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. It's not a case of being silent, but it is rejoicing in the presence of God. It was great as we worshipped earlier to see Esther. And she was praying over and around the church in the Spirit of God. That the God would move. That the power of God would be amongst us. Lives would be touched. Lives would be changed. That's God's heart. That's God's heart. Changed. Being transformed from glory to glory to glory. You've started on a road. Stay on it. You've started on a road. Stay on the road. Don't look back. Don't be sidetracked by bright lights. Focus on what God is going to give you and walk to it. Walk through the difficulties. Walk on with God and see God bring you into greater blessing. See God open up a tent. See God begin to expand things for you. But every time we turn away from God, things shrink again. God's saying, stop it. God's saying, it's time to walk the walk. Amen. Talk the talk. Amen. Be the business, yes, that I called you to be. Amen. Amen. It's serious. It's a matter of life and death. Yeah. It's a matter of health and wholeness. Amen. In God. You see, you're training to be a nurse, aren't you? Yeah. Praise God, that's a great profession. I would love the day when we as a church went into a hospital, yeah, and laid hands on every sick person, yeah, and emptied wards. Yeah. And you stood there going, what am I going to do? Just clean the beds, it'd be okay, you know. I won't want to put you out of a job, you know. But what I'm saying, that the church would rise to that place in the things of God. Now you might, people say, oh, you're just dreaming of utopia. Well, I'm going to dream. Because in God there's no sickness. In God there's no disease. When God created the earth, there was no sickness, there was no disease, there was nothing wrong. Because God looked at it and said it was good. In fact, he said it is very good. It is through sin that we suffer these things. It's through our waywardness that we suffer at the hands of the flesh and the spirit. But when we allow our nature to be changed, and God begins to move in our lives, we shall be blessed. Hallelujah. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. The ways that you think, the ways that you plan in your own mind, many of them are not the ways of God. Submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Even Paul got it wrong at times, and he acknowledged, I'm going to go and do something, and the Holy Spirit resisted him. When he wanted to go to Macedonia, and the Spirit said, no, you're not going. You're not going. Oh, there was a need. There's something that needed to be done. The Spirit said, you're not the one. You're not going at this time. And so sometimes we have to hold back and follow the leading of the Spirit and be filled and rest in that peace. Because the Word of God, as it says there in Isaiah, you're going to go out in peace. Peace brings long life. Hallelujah. No stress. No anxiety. No pressure. For me to live is Christ, Paul says. To die is gain. No stress. No strife. I'm just going to live. You know, and yet Paul went through some hells. You know, some of you say, oh, I'm going to, you know, I've been suffering for Jesus. No, you haven't suffered a jot yet.
No.
You ain't been shipwrecked. You haven't been nearly, you'd killed. I mean, some of you might say, well, I was nearly killed one time. I mean, I had three attempts at my life, but so what? I'm still pressing in. I still want more of the things of God. I'm not going to give up.
No.
They're going to have to kill me.
They're not going to do that.
To give up. For me to live is Christ. When it comes to that point where God says it's my time, then it's my game. But until that point, I need to keep thinking his thoughts.
Amen.
I need to keep walking his ways.
Amen.
I need to keep trusting in his word. And whether my mind agrees with it or not, that's not the point. I need to change my thinking. I need my mind to line up with the word of God. Just because they legalize gay marriage, etc., does that mean I have to accept it and agree with it and live by it? The answer to that question is no. Because this book is above the laws of the land. This book stands above all. There is nothing that is higher than the Word of God. Just because a government passed a law and says it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. Well, let me tell you this. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, then it is not okay. It is not right. This book should not be just written as a book. It should be written upon our hearts. And that we live that life. And we live it to the glory of God. And as we live it, then we shall be blessed. We shall know the power of God in our lives. We shall see signs, wonders, and miracles. We shall see the kingdom of God come in Jesus' name. Amen? Change your thinking. Change your thinking. Dwell on the thoughts of God. Dwell on the word of God. If you're stuck, turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Read that. Start there. Read the New Testament. And if you want to be encouraged about your future, read the book of Acts. Amen. Glory to God. The power of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, borrow that a moment. Get this blitzy cover. It's nice. Samsung. In a few months' time, it'll be out of date. In a few months' time, it'll have been superseded. And then everybody says, I need to get the new one. I can't manage without the new one. What am I going to do if I don't get that new one? You know? Transient. It's passing. If you forget to charge this up, it's totally useless. It's an ornament. If you forget to charge it up, it has no use whatsoever. And let me tell you this, go and stand and look in a mirror and say, I need this charging, Lord. I need this charging. And do you know what God's going to say? Spend time in my word. Spend time in my presence and rejoice in me. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Amen. You see, God's not a God that says, oh, you know, just you wait just a minute. You know, I'll sort you out. You see, we'd fear the belt, wouldn't we? You know what it'd be like? Okay, I'm ready. You know? Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I've got it stuck now. Well, that's not what God wants to do. He says, I love you. He says, I sent my son to die for you. He says, I took the best that I'd got. Pearl of greatest prize. And everybody, when they look at that scripture and it talks about the pearl of greatest prize, they always say, oh, that's Jesus. No, it's not. The pearl of greatest prize is you and me. Amen. God took everything he'd got, and that was Jesus. And he sent him down to earth to die on a cross so that he could buy back the pearl of great price. The person next to you, you when you look in the mirror, you're the pearl. You're the pearl of great price. And do you know something? The devil wants to hold you. The devil wants to take hold of you and take control of you. And God said, I've paid the price. I've bought each and every one of those pearls. They're mine. They belong to me. He sent everything he'd got. He took his best. Got it all together. And said, I'm going to buy it all back. I'm going to pay for that, the price of sin. That I might have the pearl of greatest price. My people. My children. That I might fellowship with them and love them. Start thinking the thoughts of God. Start believing what God says about you. And start acting upon the word. Live it out. And let it be a glory to the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus.